I was asked this week, or maybe just a comment, not really a question, that maybe, Pastor Tim, you should stop preaching on suffering because it's becoming a little too apparent in our congregation. I didn't make any decision based on that statement that day. But this morning, I have to be honest with you, and as I did in my prayer, ask the question, you know, okay, Lord, what's going on? I don't know if the suffering is becoming more and more apparent to us because we're sensitive to it, and it's always been there, or if in fact there is an increase and there is this place that we need to concentrate and work on. And to be honest with you, I'm at that crossroads. So this morning I have a sermon that I'm not going to preach. I'm going to change gears just a bit because I think we need something. I think we need to hear from God, and I think we need to hear words of comfort, encouraging words. So if you would please pray that we would hear what God has for us today. I also think today is going to be a substantial time for someone, some people, where they are able to find that comfort and find that encouragement in God's Word. I am, however, going to remain in Romans chapter 8. I want to read you verses 22 through 27. Because this speaks to a bit of our dilemma. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Now, I think you know me well enough that we are not going to get by with one sermon on that many verses. So we will be here for a while, but there is a message here that is overriding that I think we should hear today. First of all, this is this identification with creation that we talked about last week, that creation is groaning, and it's given to us through the Holy Spirit by the Apostle Paul in an attempt to comfort us, to say, you're not here alone, you're not in your grieving, you're not in your suffering alone. It is creation as well, because of its effects, because of the effects of sin on our creation. We spoke of that last week. But then Paul brilliantly turns it back to us and begins building that air of hope in us again. He says, not only so, meaning not only so is it creation, but we ourselves who have received the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions. Now, adoptions as sons means our total glorification. We have already been adopted and identified as the children of God. But in this statement, he is saying the totality of that, the second coming of Jesus Christ, so that we can see the complete benefit of being adopted as sons and daughters, of course. A piece of comfort for you. We have the first fruits. Jesus Christ is that first fruit raised from the dead. We have Him. Because of Romans chapter 6, it said, if we were buried with Him, we shall also rise with Him. So that is in totality. Our entire existence is in Him. The first fruits of the Spirit that He has given us by the Holy Spirit being in us. That is a comfort. So whatever we're going through today, the Holy Spirit is right there. Right there. Right there. And he says, "For in this hope we are saved." This morning, after getting back from Tracy and Sheila's house and pondering on my own experience with that tragedy, and then looking at Sheila and looking at Tracy, talking with Harrison, and he couldn't talk for crying. What hope do they have? Right now, it looks so endless. As I imagine Tracy walking around his house, saying, "What are we going to do?" But all of us know our hope is not in the material. I pray we can communicate that with Tracy also when it's time. This is our hope. This is our hope, the first fruits of Christ. This is our hope. This is what we've hoped for. Paul mentions this subject again, if you will, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen to these words. "But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in the fact you are doing." Two things. First of all, self-control. The Holy Spirit here was clear that we will not suffer under the grief of wrath. That is not ours. As believers in Jesus Christ, the element of God's wrath that He will pour out upon the nations that do not believe Him, that will come, but that is not for you, the believer, because of that first fruit, because of Jesus Christ. But He says we must be self-controlled. We must put on faith and love as a breastplate, and that hope in salvation, that hope in Jesus Christ, as a helmet. When you're going into battle, when you're going into an event, you prepare for that event. When I played football, we would put all this garb on, knee pads, for me, knee braces, all of that to make yourself ready for the attack or for the battle that's in front of you. Here, Paul is saying, you're not going to receive the wrath that is yours because of sin. Jesus Christ has taken that from you. There's comfort. But you do live in this day. And what is this day made of? What consists of this day? What does this day consist of? This time between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus Christ. We spoke of it the last two or three weeks. And it is that suffering. It is that sin. It is the dominating, overpowering effect at times of this world in our lives. So Paul is affirming that, yes, you live in this day. So do not be surprised with what this day will bring. But he says there's hope. There's hope. Here, it is up to us, the people of the church, and I don't mean New Sterling. I mean the body universal, because there are some people in this room right now who find their membership in other churches. Wonderful. But we as a body of Christ are directed here to bring the teaching, to identify and to extend to our brothers and sisters who are suffering this encouragement. He said He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together within Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as in the fact you are doing. How will Tracy and Sheila know of the love of Christ? How will Betty Sides know of the love of Christ? How will Swanee Snyder know that Jesus Christ loves her even during those awful radiation treatments that so many of you have been through already. How will they know? Well, first, they're strong Christian people. They have read this word. They believe the promises. But according to this passage, we, the body of Christ, must take it to them. We must. If you read my newsletter article this month, I ask for your forgiveness. Because this is something I've had to learn. And I'm sorry. But God is bringing to us so many opportunities now to go out into our community, to go out in our own family and say, do you know Jesus loves you? And even though the smoke is billowing out of your house, you're not here by yourself. At that moment, that is the hardest thing to understand. We have to bring the encouragement of Jesus Christ to the people. Back in Romans 8, verse 26, it says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for. What do we pray for? I must admit, this morning I was at a loss. Because this degree of suffering and this degree of pain that is seemingly coming in our congregation just over and over and over again. At first, I guess I was sitting on my pompous little stool and saying, Lord, come on, we can handle it. We're strong believers. We can take this. You know, as they say, be careful what you pray for. But I say, Lord, what do you have for us in this? Is it because of my sin that my congregation suffers? Is it because of the misdirection of this church that our congregation is suffering? Is it because we haven't done as we should do and there is discipline involved here? I didn't go down that road at first, but I'm beginning to now. Why? Why? I don't know that answer. So I concentrate and depend on the things I do know. It says the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. We are a Trinitarian people, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We worship, we honor God in that way. But do you know that we also pray Trinitarian as well? And if it were not for the Trinity, we could not pray. God the Father is the one that we identify as the Father, as the one that's sovereign. He is the one who is that sovereign, who has predestined, who has the providential will that all things are ordained and shall come to pass. But then there is the Holy Spirit. And as this says, gives us words, our groanings, interprets our groanings so that the Father might understand. Well, we haven't yet, in my little simple discussion here, have any right to pray. Only in Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus Christ's work on the cross, and because He has redeemed us through the Father, He has given us access to the throne room. So picture in your mind, you have access to the throne room. The curtain has been broken. You enter in. And as Isaiah would say, we should fall to our feet, or to our faces, because of the majesty. But yet we stand. But do we know what to say? How would you address the Creator of all things if you saw Him face to face? Could not. But yet the interpreter walks in. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows your heart. And so you begin mumbling, Oh God, I know not what to pray. And the Holy Spirit changes those words into the perfect sentence that the Father wishes to hear. And so we pray. Do we need to know exactly what to say? How to pray? No. We don't at all. Because the Holy Spirit is there and intercedes on our behalf. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. I thank God for those words. Because in times like this, when we seem to have such a dilemma, in times like this, when we don't have the answers, in times like this, when the tears just flow, the comfort is that the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows you. The Holy Spirit knows your heart. And when you access that throne room in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father will listen. My words of comfort to us today is that first we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We have the first fruit, which is Jesus Christ. We have access to the Father. And His love will never end for you. And that is our hope. That is our hope. We as a church, as a people, must share that hope and share those words with the people around us. So that they can wake up tomorrow morning without being completely overwhelmed in despair.